Thank you. It's a beautiful song. I'm so glad that not all of you are camping this weekend. It's good to see all of you here. I know that a number of you are going to be heading off to school in the coming days or to other forms of work, other things, and so it's so good to have you all here. And this apparently is a very good day in our congregation to be born, because we have four birthdays of people in our congregation: Sarah Wall and Shanley and Harley and Caleb. Happy birthday to all of you. And let's sing for them. It's not often we get to sing for four people at once, so. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you find Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. The best one you've ever had. Bless you. Okay. Just to take a look at our announcements here. If you have an announcement you want to make, I'll invite you to make your way forward here. Just to highlight a few things. Let's continue our prayers for Tim Weeb, who's completed his second week of chemo and radiation. I haven't had contact with him, but I imagine after a few weeks, it gets tougher. Let's continue our prayer for Nettie and her family as she waits to begin her rounds of treatments as well. Continue our prayers for Tenley. She's very excited to go back to school, and we wish her health and joy as she returns to school. Jerry, you had...
Good morning. Our youth kickoff is going to be happening September 13th. I just wanted to highlight that again. For anyone in grades 7 to 12, you're welcome to join us. We'll be starting off here for sure at 7:30. Doors will open at 7, so if you want to come a little bit early, that's okay as well. And for that, we're just looking for one or two more female youth leaders. So if that's something you're interested in, if you're passionate about the younger generation coming to know God and to experience Him, please contact me, or I'll contact you as well. But if you really feel like God's calling you to be part of that, please let me know, and we'll move forward from there. Thanks so much.
I came across an article that I thought was worth at least reading a little part of it. There's so much devastation in Houston and other areas as well. And with all the devastation that's there, the article says, look at these pictures. The only color in Greater Houston today is red, white, and blue. The only religion in the streets is love. There is no race, no creed, no gender, no socioeconomic classes, no nationality, no sexual orientation, no religion. There are only people helping people. There are only strangers opening their homes for strangers. There are only men and women risking their precious lives for other precious lives. That's the good that comes out of it.
Thank you, Jake. I'd like you to take note, too, of the insert in your bulletin from Mennonite Disaster Service that's inviting us to pray for the people who've been affected by Hurricane Harvey, and also if you're to make donations or to volunteer your time to help with the cleanup and the rebuilding there. So keep that in mind. Also, let's remember in our prayers the people of the Congo right now, who are experiencing a lot of violence and persecution and upheaval there. There have been over a million people displaced and many, many people already killed there. Let's keep that, the Christians in that country and others in our prayers there. Just want to highlight the next Sunday. If the weather is like this, which we hope it will be, or similar to this, we hope to have an outdoor service. It's our promotion Sunday. There, Peter Zacharias will be speaking with us, and you're invited to bring a salad or a plate of veggies or your favorite pineapple dessert topping. So, sorry, I couldn't resist. I am bringing pineapple. So, also, we've got some special activities planned for the kids right after lunch. There, we will be having a bouncy house there, which is very exciting, and we will also have some giant Dutch Blitz cards for the older kids. So stick around for the afternoon. We have some things planned there. Just one more thing I want to highlight, and I guess it's kind of my personal favorite. Southern Manitoba Choral Society is going to be starting up on September 12th. They meet every Tuesday. It's a chance to sing in a choir, and if you're looking for an opportunity to sing, Rudy and I have been singing in this choir for several years now, and we really enjoy it. It's a neat experience to sing with other Christians, and that's just a fun rehearsal time as well. And it's going to be led by Karis Weeb, who led it last year as well. So we're thankful that she's agreed to do that again. So if you're interested or you want to hear more about it, you can talk to Rudy and I, or show up on the 12th at W.C. Miller Music Room there. Are there any other announcements? Okay. Over the summer, our Sunday morning worship times have been focusing on the Psalms, and we've had a wonderful adventure, a wonderful travel through the Psalms on different Sundays with music and messages and that kind of thing. And we've been memorizing Psalms as well. The children have been memorizing Psalm 23. Some of you have maybe worked on memorizing other Psalms. Today, Rudy's going to be speaking on Psalm 32, which is a psalm of confession. Proverbs 28 says that he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Isn't it good to know that we have a God who loves us and who we can approach for forgiveness, messy lives and all? For our call to worship today, I invite you to turn to hymn number 235. This is a hymn of repentance and forgiveness, and it's a reminder that we can come to our Heavenly Father just as we are. So if you could turn to that hymn, or I believe we might have it up on the screen as well. Let's sing that together. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me, my soul of one.
tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yes, all I need it here find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come to you today just as we are. We confess our need for you. We confess your lordship over our lives. We come to you with messy and broken lives, and you bless us by clothing us in a robe of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for your death and your resurrection that made all this possible. Amen.
Good morning. I too am glad not all of you are camping this morning. This week, as I was focusing on and trying to get back to school and thinking about all those kinds of things and all the anxieties and the fears and the many things going on in my head, I found it helpful to go back to some of the Psalms that speak about God and who He is. And one of the Psalms I looked at was Psalm 104. He starts off with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. My God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers yourself with light as with a garment." He talks about how God created the earth, the springs in the valley, the fruitfulness of the earth. Verse 19 and 20 talk about how he created the moon and the stars, the creatures of the sea. And he just goes on and on and on with all the different things that God has done. And then at the end, verse 31... "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." And some days, there's days we feel like singing praise, and some days it's a choice I make. Today, I will sing praise to my God. I invite you to do that this morning, to praise the God to worship the God who's created the heaven and the earth, the only reason we can continue doing what we do. Stand with me and sing number 15, O Worship the King. And then turn in your book, please, to number 546, A Wonderful Savior is Jesus My Lord. 546. Let's do verse 2 and 3 without the chorus.
Moment
more song. I'd like to do number 442. If you would like to sit down, please feel free to. If you're still able to stand, that's fine also. All three verses, please, of 142, I Found a Friend. Sorry, 542. Thank you. You may be seated. I'll invite the ushers to come forward for the offering.
Because of who I am. what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Thank you, Kirsten and Christina. Could we bow for prayer? Father, thank you for Jesus. And because of what he's done, we can receive your salvation, and we receive our identity as your children. Thank you for the gift of this day, for the chance to worship you in words, in music, and in our giving as well. We thank you for the bountiful harvest, for safety for farmers, for schools that give us opportunities to learn and to teach, for doctors and nurses and medical facilities where we can receive help with health difficulties. And so we bring before you those who need your healing. Tenley and Nettie and Tim, we place them into your hands and into your care and keeping. And we place their families into your hands as well. Thank you that in times like these, we can know that you are still in control. We pray for those who have lost homes and loved ones because of Hurricane Harvey, for a deep sense of your presence there, and for people who love you to come and to help out. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the Congo who are facing persecution and violence. We ask that you give them courage to remain faithful to you. And we pray for peace to return to their country. Lord, we bring before you our church family here in Rosetown. Thank you, Father, for these brothers and sisters in Christ, and we pray for unity in our midst, for courage to remain faithful to you in a culture that denies you and asks us to follow them into a life of false freedom. We pray for the ability to love those who disagree with us and love those who don't know you. And as we look to the future, we ask, Father, that you would make our path plain to us. We ask all these things in the strong name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen.
I am so thankful that we can say, I am yours. And that again and again, no matter what our circumstances, he invites us to come and to wash us whiter than snow. The next song I've chosen is Whiter Than Snow. It's not in our church hymnal. It's in an old other hymnal that I often go back to. Christina will have the words up on the screen, I think. And we'll do all four verses and all choruses. Whiter Than Snow. hang on a second. I see a bunch of you pulling out your hymn books anyway. I found it in this one, but apparently it is in our church book. Erica, what page? 583. Sorry, I went to this one. So if you do like to pull out the hymnal, 583, and let's go with verse 2.
This morning, let us turn to Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
Thank you so much, Caroline. I was just going to ask if we could meet with members of the ministerial after the meeting here just to meet so we can figure out a date for our meeting. Let's see if we can get that straight. We'll try that. Also, trying out a new mic this morning, so we'll see how this works. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, no. Dave says no. These things always remind me of those places where you go to conventions and you speak into this mic and it translates it into all kinds of different languages. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? I think something that could translate this into Low German would be incredibly cool. As Kathy mentioned, we have spent the summer months looking at the Psalms on Sunday morning. We've looked at Psalm 1, 23, 150, 121, 139, 73, 130, and last Sunday, chapter 91. I have appreciated hearing the perspectives and listening to the truth of Scripture that come from these Psalms every week. And if we did all 150 of them, I think it would take us about another 2.5+ years. I don't think we're going to do that, but it's not as though we're going to leave them entirely either, because it's in the Psalms. The songs and the prayers of these hymns and words of prayer that we find out so much about who God is, about ourselves, our world, and we find language to say it all to God. For this Sunday, I wasn't quite finished with the Psalms, and I thought one more element of our human and spiritual journey with God would include confession and forgiveness and using the themes coming out in Psalm 32. I think confession is often something that we would rather avoid. It makes us think of our shortcomings, our guilt, and our discomfort. It's not a high priority list of to-do things in our society. It seems other people should do it, and yeah, it's okay if they do it, but I'm not sure if we really need to do it, or at least not so often. So to help us out, I'm going to suggest a different starting point. We need a place to start, and something that forms the basis of our thinking and practice, a foundation we can build on. And the starting point has three items. Number one, confess that Jesus is Lord of all. You start with that. You always start with that. Confess that Jesus is Lord. And as Kathy mentioned in her opening, the second one is confess our continued need for God. And the third one, confess our desire to have God's healing and hope flow through us to the world around us. When we honestly confess those three, then so many other items of our life fall into place. From this basis, we can pray with the psalmist for God to search us and know our hearts, to test us and know our anxious thoughts, to see if there's any wicked way in us, and to lead us in the way everlasting, from Psalm 139. We also recognize the truth of 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10, where he says, if we say we have no sin, not only do we deceive ourselves, but we make God into a liar, the one who is faithful and just, who will forgive us of our sins. We are very capable of thinking that we don't need any help in confessing our sins, partly because they may very well be hidden from us. Because the temptation with sin is always to hide it, to cover it up, to deny it, to go on as though nothing really happened, to run away like Jonah. However, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer has said, he puts it well into the double dilemma. The one who is alone with their sin is utterly alone. Sin leads to isolation and withdrawal. The more isolated, the more disastrous will be the power of sin over such a person. But the more deeply involved a person is, the more disastrous is the isolation. You get the double bind? Both of those? Sin wants to remain unknown. It shuns the light. In the darkness of the unexpressed, it tends to poison the whole being of a person. I'm always reminded of Adam and Eve when they ate of the fruit of the garden and they went to hide. And it says, where did they hide? Well, it says they hid among the trees of the garden. And they were hiding from God, who created the garden, who created the trees where they were hiding. So did you think you couldn't get away from where God is and where God is not? And I don't think so, and I hadn't quite thought that through. But it said, the serpent said, you're not going to die right away. Like God said, if you eat of this fruit, you're going to die. Well, the Hebrew meaning is, you're not going to just die right off the hop like this. You're going to set yourself in a direction where the end result will be your final separation from God. And the first step of that for Adam and Eve was hiding. And Adam says to God, I was afraid. Fear and hiding are the first elements of that move away from what God wants. Signs along the pathway. I find it interesting to contrast that with verse 7, where it says, you are a hiding place for me. We come to where God is a hiding place for us, not where we seek to get away from God. There's lots of movement in this psalm. Verse 3 has the most profound movement. When I declared not my sin, mean silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. That sounds really appealing, doesn't it? My goodness, what a description. And here's the movement. From silence to speech. The silence is broken by this speech, speech to God. You see, secret remorse, or anything we can talk about with ourselves to kind of smooth things over, or fake guilt, are not confession. The silence is broken in the presence of the other, spoken first to God. He says, I acknowledge to you, I did not hide, I said, I will confess to the Lord. Here's the deal. When one has wronged someone with whom there is a conscious relationship and refuses to acknowledge it, to put the wrong into words so that there is speech available for it to be dealt with, if that doesn't happen, then the wrong that is retained and sheltered begins to become part of a person's identity. You shelter it, you retain it, it's going to stay there. And it's going to become a part of you in a way that you won't even recognize. It harms and hardens and diminishes with individuals, with any organization, corporations, all kinds. You can harbor this stuff and you say, it's not a big deal. But it is, because it harms and hardens and it begins to form part of your identity. I've always noted with interest Psalm 66, verse 18, where it says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And we might ask, well, why? Why wouldn't God listen? Well, God doesn't listen because there's no room for God. The heart is being preoccupied. There's no room. Silence is the performance of stubborn pride, a spirit that is fearful of being found out. Or silence can delude us into thinking that we're not then accountable to anyone for our conduct. We're just not accountable. The silence is the rejection of grace. There's some long time ago, a book came out with the title, If Grace is So Amazing, Why Don't We Like It? We don't like it because we have to express our need for it. After the writer has said his confession to God, he adds, then you forgave the guilt of my sin. And he points to the crucial importance of the confession of sin. As is mentioned in our bulletin, in Proverbs 28, it says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses, and it says, and forsakes them, will obtain mercy. God's way is to forgive sinners. We know that. We believe that. We trust that. We do not acknowledge this grace unless we present ourselves to God as people who are willing to confess. It can't become real for us. The prophets in the Old Testament always maintained that the pardon of God is the first and principal basis of the life of the people of God. But they said, you need to do your confession also. So here's four more points in quick order. If there is no confession, then there can be no healing. What is not named and not open to God cannot be made new. It has to be named. It has to be made open to God. And then God can do something with it. As someone has said, confession is inviting God to work the acreage of our hearts. To work it. To till the soil of our hearts. Without confession, the soil of our hearts becomes dry and hard. We become dishonest and crippled and full of unhealth. And God wants to reverse the trend, to unclog that plugged drain of our lives, to breathe life and hope into our being. And the gift of speech and confession is this doorway that needs to be opened. A number of years ago, a pastor by the name of Roger Thompson met a man who came forward after the service, and he said to him, "I need to confess something to you. I committed a very serious crime over 20 years ago, and I have never been apprehended. But I feel I need to bring peace in my life. I know that I will never advance in my spiritual well-being unless I come forward with this." His name was John Claypool. And over 20 years ago, as a 14-year-old, without motive, he had been involved in the death of two people. 4 years prior to his confession, John said, God had brought him to a place where he said, "I am really tired of all of this. I really can't run away from God anymore." So he took up the promise of John 3:16, and it became real for his life, and he met Jesus as his Savior, and he had this relationship with God. He began to attend Bible studies and church, and his life began to change. He claimed the power of God to help him relinquish the drugs and alcohol that had tyrannized his life. And he began a new relationship on the basis of his new identity. A good neighbor, a loving dad, he was starting everything over again. But he said, "I had this horrible secret in my life." And he said, "You don't know how many times I lay awake at night and I went back to that night in my mind when I was 14 years old. I was drunk, I was high on marijuana." And he says, "Boy, if I could do that over again. That one night." He says, "But I couldn't go back. I couldn't undo what I'd done." So had God forgiven him? "Oh, absolutely," he says. "Sure. But now what?" So John decided to go back. He trusted God's leading. To bring something good out of the ashes of his life, he had made his peace with God. He knew he was forgiven, but he knew God was asking him to make something else. Something that had been so very wrong. Because his secret had stunted his life. It had poisoned every relationship, infected his energies for 20 years. He was always looking over his shoulder, wondering who and when he would be found out. And the power of the secret, hidden in darkness, just controlled and ruined his life. So what he did was rather unusual. But he says, "God gave me the courage to walk back toward the consequences, a 20-year trial he left behind. God, the grace of God brought healing and strength, which led to courage to walk back toward reconciliation." So John went to the authorities and he told them the whole story. He says, "I just really need to take responsibility for what happened here." And on the witness stand, he told the entire courtroom, he says, "I am more free now than at any time in the last 20 years, even though I'm going to jail." See, our culture is so starved for forgiveness. People carry huge burdens of guilt. And people continually say we shouldn't talk about sin because we need to leave that alone because it makes people uneasy. Well, that is an idol. People do want to talk about sin because our world is so full of people who are starved for genuine forgiveness. And what to do with it? To tangibly announce forgiveness is so profound. Can't say how many times I've experienced that in hospital visits with people who are dying. "I've had this on my life for how many years? I need to clean it up." everybody needs a priest. I would put it that bluntly. We all need a priest. We all need a high priest. And we have one in Jesus the Christ. We need the human priest also to tangibly announce forgiveness to people who claim that and who want you to know that. What a relief when that washes over people and they don't carry any of that anymore. See, the writer of Psalm 32 invites us to allow God to lead us in the pathway to confession, to instruct and to teach us, so we won't be like the horse and mule without understanding. Confession is the knocking to which the door opens, the seeking that finds, the asking that receives. Confession of sin to God is confession of faith in God. It's the action of trust that God is a God who will keep covenant. Faith is not like the horse or mule without understanding. Faith understands that we're also sinners and that God is gracious with the ability to make saints out of sinners. God can do that, and God will do that. And the psalm lifts up the blessedness of the forgiven sinner. There's about 25 Beatitudes in the Psalms. If you put them all together and you line them up, they form a composite picture of the well-being of a life lived according to the established ways and order of God. And the interesting thing about the writer of the Psalms is he says this life is actually desirable and also attainable. You can do this. You can live this way. It is possible. See, in confession, the breakthrough to new life occurs, a break with the past. Behold, all things are become new. Confession is discipleship. Life with Jesus the Christ and his community has begun. There's another side to this that we need to talk about at some point. Confession to one another, to the Christian brother or sister in the community of faith. Because James 5 verse 16 asks an important question. Who can hear our confession? Bonhoeffer says two very important things. Who can hear it? Only those who themselves have experienced new life in Christ. And also, every person should refrain from listening to confession who does not himself practice it. That's a tough call. But for today, confession to God, its importance, how it deals a powerful blow to our pride, but how it's also a gift. We can't hide anything from God. We can go to all the trees in the garden, but we can't hide there. So come, as the song invites. Come. Come to God who is gracious, who loves us. And finally, the psalm warns that confession of sin must be made with integrity. Verse 2b is instructive. In whose spirit there is no deceit. Confession can easily become a work of our righteousness, or an easy presumption on God's forgiveness. Both are deceit. Repentance can become a routine, callous, shallow, careless, inconsequential. Don't really want to be changed. I just want to go back to what I was doing. There is no broken spirit or contrite heart, which is what God is looking for. But you know what the cure for deceit always is? Always. The cure is you keep the crucified Christ in view as God's judgment on and pardon for all sin. The power of the cross, the importance of the cross. And so the righteousness received in forgiveness comes because the Lord imputes no iniquity. It's a gift from God. Therefore, he says, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you. Let us bring to God all of what we are. Tell it to God. 17th century Frenchman François Fenelon said, he put it this way, tell God all that is on your heart, as one unloads one's heart, its pleasure and its pain to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles that he may comfort you. Tell him your joys that he may savor them. Tell him your longings that he may help you conquer them. Tell him your temptations that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved taste for evil, for instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride disguises you to yourself and to others. It's a fascinating quote. There's no need to weigh our words, to hold anything back. Prayer is sharing all of our life with the Master. It acknowledges his suffering and his sovereignty. I'm always intrigued by the story of Tom Brown, who was the director of Green Pastures, a healing center in England a number of years ago. And there was a woman who came to him after a service with a frozen shoulder, and she was asking for prayer for this dilemma. And for some reason, he says he was just led to ask her this question. And he just asked her. He says, is there anyone in your life at this point whom you are refusing to forgive? He says, I don't always ask people that. And he said, didn't quite know where that came from, but it seemed right at this moment to ask this woman this question. She looked at him and said, how did you know? He says, well, I won't go into that, but he says, is it true? Oh yeah, she says, it's true. Yeah. Well, he says, I believe if you want to be free of your frozen shoulder, which you've had for the last 2 years, which hasn't responded to treatment, then you need to forgive. And she said, no, I will not. I just refuse. I will not do that. Well, he said, it's up to you. But while you're thinking about it, I'll go and pray for someone else. So, a little while later, she came back and she said, yeah, she says, I think I need to do this. I want to do this. I'm ready. So she went through this process of forgiveness with him, explained that all, and told him about what was on her heart. And he said to her, okay, well, let's see. You have this problem lifting your arm, your shoulder isn't working properly. How far can you lift it? And she lifted it straight to the air. There was no pain, no nothing. Absolutely nothing. You see, the physiological condition here was a cause of stress, simply due to unforgiveness. When sin goes unchecked, it can cause all kinds of difficulty in our minds, in our souls, and even in our bodies. That's why we need the gift of confession, so we may be forgiven and healed. Amen.
Let's respond by singing number 541, Marvelous Grace. Please stand with me.
Thank you.
Let's bow to pray. Dear God, we confess that you are Lord of all. And we confess our continued need for you. We confess our desire to have your healing and hope flow through us to the world around us. Based on your promise that you hear us when we pray, and based on the knowledge that you are a gracious God, we come and claim the assurance of forgiveness and of your continued presence with us, which is to us a gift of grace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to each one God's peace, today and always. Amen. Mm-hmm.